Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's rather historic regional final playoff game. One of three. The other one, at least tomorrow, will be played starting at 5 o'clock here at Lummi Cooper, with the IF game set to begin about 30 to 45 minutes following that game. But I mentioned historic because the coaches just met at home plate with the contingent of umpires. And Toby Goodwin and Tyler Goodwin both shared a hug. And I'm sure in the state of Texas that there have been situations in different sports where fathers and sons have faced off against each other, possibly even as head coaches, at least at some point, as many father-son combinations as there have been in UIL competition. I'm not sure, however, that there's ever been a situation where a father and son or sibling and sibling or any combination that is related to one another have met where both teams in a regional final are undefeated. And yet that is what is happening here this evening. As your Iowa Bulldogs come into tonight's contest 22-0, and Nazareth Swift come in at 18-0 on the season. So it's amazing to think that two of the three undefeated teams left in the baseball playoffs at this point in the season are undefeated. Only three in the state of Texas, and two of them are meeting tonight here at the field of Lummi Cooper. To give you a little background on how both teams have done during the regular season, and then in the postseason, Iowa comes into tonight's contest having scored 290 runs during the regular season, 18-0 if you want to count the basically the scrimmage they had with the new home JV toward the end of the season in preparation for these playoffs. They've allowed 28 runs against, 290 runs scored, 28 runs against, which basically comes out to a 15-1 advantage per game over the course of the season. The Nazareth Swifts come in to tonight's contest having scored 155 runs during the regular season and giving up 19. So they ended up averaging a win at the pace of 11-1. So both schools obviously averaging a run rule per game during the course of their entire season. If that wasn't good enough for you, then we get to the playoffs, to where the Bulldogs are 5-0, having won two best-of-three game series and a one-game series. Nazareth comes in winning two one-game series and a one best-of-three, so they come in 4-0 during the playoff season, while Bulldogs are 5-0. But Iowa has scored 81 runs in the playoffs. Two runs have been scored against them, only one of those an earned run. And so their average in the playoffs, their average margin of victory, is 16-0.4. I haven't even given up an average of a run per game in playoff series. Not to be outdone, Tyler Goodwin and his group have scored 53 runs in four playoff games and have allowed zero runs over the course of those four games. So they have averaged a win at a pace of 13-0 during the course of the playoffs. So what do we expect tonight? We can expect a lot. And I'm going to tell you what I expect, given the fact that Jared Pena and Trent Gerber, two of the best pitchers in the state of Texas, particularly in Class A, are going to face each other tonight. The fact that neither of them give up runs, and they have two good defenses behind them, I'm looking, tonight's probably going to be a hit probably. We'll see. It will all play on the field. But a low-scoring game, maybe a 3-2, 3-1, 2-1, Who knows? But Grover comes into tonight's contest. In 56 innings over the course of the season, he has struck out 130 hitters. So you do some quick math and you see that he is averaging about 2 strikeouts per inning over the course of the season, which is phenomenal. Jerry Pena, on the other hand, has not given up an earned run this season. So he has obviously been perfect on the pitching rubber as well, and I think they're going to find it very difficult to hit him. So it may end up being one of those scenarios where the team that makes a mistake, the team that gets hot at the plate, and is just trying a few hits together, is the one that comes away with this game one victory. One thing I will say, I'm not sure, I believe that the Nazareth Swifts play on regular grass. That may not, but I'm thinking and talking to Coach Goodwin, our Coach Goodwin, that they play on regular grass like we do. The field here at Lubbock Cooper is a turf field. And I noticed that warm-ups for both teams, as they were taking in and out, that there was some issue, particularly among the outfielders, with high hops and balls getting over their heads, because if you hit a high fly ball, particularly into a gap situation out here on this turf, it tends to bounce 8, 10, and 12 feet up in the air. And so we may see a situation where a fielder has an issue with the ball. Also, the infield being artificial turf, ball can cut speed as you hit a hot ground ball to the infield. So we'll look at those kinds of things and just kind of keep an eye out for that. Now, tomorrow, the first game will be played at 5 o'clock. And it's supposed to be about 104, 105 degrees. And at this ball field, I'm finding out when we walk up the steps to the bleachers, the seats out here, Iowa Bulldogs are the home team for game one tonight, have the third base dugout. There is about a 20-foot area of shade that is in front of the third base dugout as the dugout faces north. Right now. So a big advantage there is that the first base dugout is just totally engulfed in sun, and they are looking dead into the west. As the sun begins to set even a little more this season, I think it may make things a little more difficult. Both teams have left-handed hitters going to be looking initially into the sun as they come to the plate, but definitely a huge factor as far as the shade and the coolness of this game is it's about 97 degrees here as we get ready to start game time this evening. We appreciate so much the opportunity to be able to bring you these games and have during the course of the season. I will mention that my co-broadcaster, Ben Moore, is not with me this evening for some odd reason. I still haven't figured it out, but he determined that he should take his family to Alaska here in the mid-100 degree temperature in West Texas. Not exactly sure what caused him to do that. Maybe the fact that he's got some brain cells at work and decided it's time to go ahead and get out of this and take a little break, but I hope that he and his family are having a tremendous time. We'll miss him in the booth this evening, but try to do my best to go ahead and make us proud. I wasn't sure at the outset how many people are actually listening to the broadcast this evening, as it appears everybody in Iowa is here, but it does look like we have a huge contingency as the Iowa Bulldogs get ready to come to the plate. And we get ready to start this game. First pitch by Gerber is a strike. And Luna leading it off 4-4 Dogs foul this one back. Again, Bulldogs just going to do their best to try to catch up to Gerber. He's got a really nasty fastball and a couple breaking pitches, which is obviously why Hitters have had such a difficult time against him this year. 2-2 is the count down. That pitch is high. He comes in and low pitch, but strike three. And Luna is the first out of the inning as Brighton Partain, third baseman for the Bulldogs, comes to the plate. Obviously, we are not the home team this evening if we're batting first, but we were given third base, which is typically reserved for the home team. So Bulldogs will be the home team as we play game two. And I just got a text from Ben that he's listening from Alaska. I wasn't sure they could even get the signal in Alaska, but obviously they can. Bryce Partain, pitch number one, fouls the ball straight back to the backstop. 0-1 is the count. Gerber sets for the pitch. Outside corner, called strike two. I'll tell you what, there is not much time from the point he releases the ball until he crosses home plate. He is definitely a fireballer. Waits pitch up and away. Brighton doesn't bite on it, so one ball, two strikes as we have just started this ball game. The number two hitter for the Irish Bulldogs. And a called strike three on the inside corner. And just like that, Gerber has already hit his average two strikeouts per half inning that he racked up during the course of the year as the number three hitter for the Irish Bulldogs and pitcher tonight, Jerick Payne, comes to the plate. Jerick takes the first pitch, fouls it deep down the left field foul line, and it goes out of play for a foul ball and strike one. Young is a little ahead of that one, but boy, he hit that thing right off the nose. Gerber set with the pitch. Comes in, and I thought it was going to be a little high, but called strike for strike two. Quickly, 0-2 is the count against Jerick Payne. Gerber working very quickly and sets up outside for ball one. 1-2 is the count. I'm not sure how much fielding the Cliffs have had to do this year with his pitching. Jerick Payne turns on one, places it over the third baseman for the first hit of the ballgame. And one hopper to the left fielder, and Jerick is on safely. Just a great hit. So with two outs, we have a man on first base, Jerick Payne, and Jerick taking a small lead. Porter takes pitch number one, and again, like so many times already before the first half inning, it is a cold strike on the inside corner. This time, Payne takes off, and he is able to beat the throw into second. Pitch was low, so ball one ball, one strike. He is the count. But Jerick Payne has now moved into scoring position. And again, we have another strike, so one ball, two strikes is the count. This time, Drew reaches out and is able to go ahead and keep the at-bat alive. So the count still holds at 1-2.
And a little late on the swing, and Drew swinging above the ball for a cold strike three. And just like that, the outer batters go down, but not in order. Jared Kinkey, which made a solid single from left field for a hit, but is stranded at second base following the steal. The Bulldogs pitch the field for their first defensive stand of this ballgame. We'd like to thank some of our sponsors at this time. Pizza Inn. Pizza Inn has a buffet salad bar all day long. They also have a great team price. So if you just call ahead and let them know you're coming, they'll get you set up. First Church of God is Rocky Alexander. Irish Church of God is proud supporter of the Irish Bulldogs. Their mission is making Jesus known and loving others. Check them out on their Facebook page at Irish Church of God. Sonic Drive-In is my place for stopping after most ball games. One half price drinks all day long as long as you use the Sonic app. Family night every Tuesday from 5 to closing with one half price single patty burgers. So stop by Sonic and grab yourself some supper. Snyder Iron and Metal, 5 locations in Snyder, Sweetwater, Hampton, Andrews, and Big Spring. They pay top prices for all recyclable metals, aluminum, copper, brass, stainless steel, carbon, iron, and tin, and also has structural pipe and rods. Texas Farm Bureau, Stormy Sellers, licensed agents. If you call Stormy at 940-674-5434, she will be more than happy to check and see if you qualify to save up to 40% on your auto insurance. And also, Community Bank of Snyder, proud supporter of Iowa Bulldog Athletics, and support the Bulldogs in every athletic venture and academic venture during the course of the year. Jared Pena and your battery mate, Jared Pena, senior to freshman brother, as we get ready to start the bottom of the second inning here. First batter is Luke Schultz for the Swifts. He is their catcher. Jerry starts with a ball outside low. I think everybody's just kind of getting these first inning jitters out of the way. And it's not just about, the good one versus good one, which I know all of West Texas has been talking about, but it seems like all of Texas on Facebook and in newspapers and news articles and things of that nature. But just the nerves associated with being in a regional final at this point. Three pitches. Oh, I said, I'm not sure Coach Goodwin has called time and is coming to talk to the home plate umpire. But Jerry is behind right now, 3-0, on the count only his first batter, and Toby Goodwin taking issue with something from the Nazareth Swift side here, wants to make sure that he realizes that this plays into the home plate umpire. Toby heads back to the dugout, umpire back behind home plate, and we'll resume play with the count 3-0. On the leadoff batter for Nazareth. That's in there for a strike on the outside corner. 3 balls and 1 strike. And Jerry, as the base runner took off toward first base like it was going to be ball 4, umpire had a different idea in mind as he called strike 2. So count goes full, batter has to come back. And wait for the payoff pitch. Fouls it straight back, so the count holds at 3-2. He's taking about 4 or 5 steps to first base and watching the home plate umpire because he had initially singled strikes. And it wasn't until the batter got about 10, 15 feet up the line that he turned around and came back. Stepped out of the box, now steps back in. Jerry gets set. And the pitch, a high fly ball to center field. And this ball is going to go over the head of Zane Allen. then takes it off the wall, and the runner hit it for third, and the ball bounces away from the shortstop, and he went out for the short left center field, and the runner is able to make it all the way around. And that's a ball that just took off. Zane was running as fast as he could in order to try to catch up to that ball. And short hop the fence just left of the Green Monster in deep center field. Went to pick it up, and it looked like his feet caught, and he went down the relay throw, trying to throw it into Anthony Luna, the shortstop. Went wide of him as the runner was rounding third base. And makes it home without a place to play. So just like that, Nazareth Swift, with an opportunity to hit and run, take a quick 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first inning. Next batter for the Swift, Carson Hyman. Carson hit one short, and Luna with a nice, strong throw, able to get him out at first base. And I am working here on trying to get things caught up here. As we now have the pitcher, Trent River, come to the plate, takes the first pitch, lines it into left field for a solid single over the head of Anthony Luna. And just like that, two of the first three batters for the Swift able to get on. Pedro throws first pitch. Ball one outside. Tanner Gerfenfeld, the center fielder. He is the current batter. Again, Gerber on first base with the line drive single to the left. One out here in the bottom of the first inning. Inside pitch, and it is hit foul back into the backstop netting. One and one is the count, one out. This looks with a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the first by virtue of an in-the-park home run. River with a short lead at first. It's time a fly ball to center field. Zane Allen is under it, has it. Gets it back in quickly as Gerber retreats back into first base. So now two outs in the bottom of the first. Here is Brett Young, DH this evening for the Swift. Two out as Payne gets ready. Pitches high and inside for ball one. Again, that hit, you can tell the unfamiliarity with the turf field as from one of that ball kept rising and rising, but once it hit out there, it bounced very sharply off the outfield wall. And kind of got Zane tangled up a little as the runner didn't hesitate. Rounding second, built up steam, and came in all the way. Foul ball, back down the first base side. So 2-1, here's the count. Again, the Irish Bulldogs with two outs. The Swift with one run in it here in the bottom of the first inning. Gerber, the pitcher, on first base right now. Jerry looks the runner back, gets set, and comes home. ball is outside. Jaron thought about throwing behind the runner at first, but held the ball. The count is now 3-1 on the batter. Yeah, Jarek looks the runner back at first, gets set, and brings it in for a cold strike on the outside corner. And just like a couple of batters ago, he started to head down toward first base thinking that it was ball four, but we're back to a full count here with two outs, bottom of the first inning. And strike three on the batter as Jaron holds the foul tip. And so your Iowa Bulldogs come back to the plate being down 1-0 against the Swifts. And again, the leadoff hitter able to go ahead and take the ball to the inside on a full count and drive it over the head of Zane Allen in left center field. And able to come up with the ball cleanly, and the Bulldogs couldn't really get a relay throw off of it, and then we're going to come all the way around. But Jared limits the damage to that one run. Lone single after that, but three outs, and your Iowa Bulldogs getting ready to come back up. Jaron Payne will start things off for the Bulldogs here in the top of the second inning. Again, a few more of our sponsors, Industrial Hose and Oil Fuel Supply. Industrial Hose is your one-stop shop for all your oil field supply needs. It's got pipe, valves, fittings, oil field hoses, and hydraulic hoses. Service is their number one priority. Go Bulldogs. Taylor Ram is a proud supporter of Iowa Bulldogs Athletics, which is the mold of best in their baseball playoffs. Go get them, dogs. Arrowhead Ranch, also a proud sponsor of the Bulldogs, and supporting the Bulldogs, especially through this playoff series and into this regional final. Number 9, Jaron Payne, the catcher, at the plate, getting ready to take first pitch of the top of the second from Gerber. It is low and outside for ball one. I think in that first inning, he got ahead of every batter. Either a first pitch strike or we fouled one off to get the Iowa batters in a hole to start with. And on the fifth, on Jarek, first baseman waves everybody off and is able to catch the fly ball between first base and the pitcher's mound for out number one. As Casey Castillo, DH for the Iowa Bulldogs, comes to the plate. High and inside for ball one. It looked like Jaron had a good swing at that pitch before, just got underneath it. Casey with a one hopper to short, and he is going to be thrown out by about a step and a half, shortstop deep in the hole, and able to go ahead and make the play at first base. So two outs here in the top of the second. Rios is the batter as he takes strike one on the inside part of the plate, called strike. That one right down the middle for a called strike two. Holden and Zane and Lexan have done a good job this year in the bottom part of the order, keeping things alive for the Bulldogs. Reaches out on that one, and the shortstop's one hopper to the first baseman, but he's able to go ahead and snag the ball and get Holden out at first base. So, just that quickly, and I anticipated this being a fast-paced game with both pitchers being very dominant and pitching
title it Around the Strike Zone. I'm not sure that I thought it was going to be quite this fast, as we've almost gone through two innings, averaging about 10 minutes an inning at this point, as Nazareth gets ready to come to the plate. Again, the Bulldogs down by a 1-0 count. One thing that works in their advantage is they've been down in different games this season and have had the composure to be able to come back. We have several seniors on the team, and you kind of get that feeling that you know, there's no deficit that's too large to be able to overcome, and you're just kind of waiting for the time that they put a few hits together, string a few, and get that run plus some more back here as we get ready to start the bottom of the first inning. Or second inning, right? I'm going backwards in time now. Number six hitter, Sarah Welch, the first baseman for Nazareth Swift. He's a lefty. Steps in. Jerry gets set. And pitch number one is on the outside corner for called strike one. One thing about Jared, too, as the game goes on, he seems to get tougher and tougher, and really pinpoints his pitches around that strike zone. Pitch just a little high. Jared tried to bring it down, and umpire calls the ball, so count evens now at 1-1. Foul ball straight back up over the netting. So Jerry with a pitcher's count at 1-2 here in the bottom of the second. First batter of the bottom of the second. Score 1-0 on an inside the park home run in the first inning. And a high pitch. First baseman couldn't keep himself from going around, swings and misses. And Jones with a strikeout for the first batter here in the second inning. Braden Board, the third baseman, now up for the Nazareth Swift. And he is in really tight on the plate. Jones steps up a little outside. And swinging strikeout. It was an awkward-looking swing and miss there. It looked almost like he was bailing out a little bit. Coach Tyler Goodwin comes down the line and give him have a little conversation with him on that swing. Pitch number two is outside for a ball, 1-1. Here's the count here. This time brings it in just enough to catch the outside part of the plate for a called strike. So again, Jerry hit in the count, 1-2, to the number 7 hitter. He's barely able to go ahead and get a piece of that as he fouls it back into the backstop here. So the count holds at 1-2. Seventh batter in the order for Nazareth. And short arms this one, but able to go ahead and get a piece of it up on the handle and fouls it back into the netting. Jaron didn't have any play on that one, even though he was up very quickly with his mask off. So still the count holds 1-2. And he just keeps fouling pitchers off, and that's one thing as a hitter you try to do, especially on a really good pitcher like Jerry. Just make them work hard, try to make them make a mistake. But when you're that deep in the hole, you've really got to protect both sides of that plate. And a crazy ball, beautiful break ball, just throws the batter, had no opportunity even to get the bat on the ball, and it comes from inside out, right across the middle of the plate for strike three, second strike out for Jerry Pena in the inning, 2 outs now. As Jack Welch, the right fielder, now comes to the plate. Ball one outside. Jared definitely gotten a little more in the zone here in the second inning. He wasn't off by that much in the third. They just got the bat around on him a couple times, but really placing his pitches here outside corner there as the batter is pretty deep in the batter's box, but gets a called strike on the corner, even count one ball, one strike. And a little looper is going to fall into right field, and again, Ike Weaver had a little trouble picking the ball up as it took a high hobby to be able to keep it in front of him, keep the runner at first base. That was a situation to where the batter just basically set his bat out, and the ball hit it, went over Drew Porter at first base in the shallow right field. And with two outs, the Swifts with a runner on first base as the number nine hitter for the Swifts comes to the plate. Drake with a throw back behind the runner at first base. Doesn't have much of a lead, and shouldn't, if he knows anything about Drake and Jared Barnes and how many runners they picked off this year. Foul ball, straight back, strike one. In the playoffs, Jared and Jared just about even on how many players they have either thrown out or thrown behind and picked off. 3-1 game against Westbrook. And so it doesn't bode well to get very far away off the bag as Jared makes a throw to first. Drew drops the ball, but runner's already back safely. Anyway, it has to dive to get back. No balls, one strike is the count here at the bottom of the second. Two outs. Nazareth ahead, 1-0. And again, that inside-out curveball for Jerry. And he's able to go ahead and get it right over the heart of the plate for a call strike. 0-2, two outs, bottom of the second. And a swinging strike three. Peña strikes out the side. And Ira Bulldogs will come back in and get ready to try to get at least the equalizing run and if not, be able to tack some more on here in the top of the third inning. But Jerry, an exceptional job, you know, after the Swifts scored in the first inning, he comes in and strikes out three of the four batters that he faced. And he is definitely in the zone here at this point. Ira Booster Club, a proud supporter of the Ira ISD baseball and all Ira ISD students. First Baptist Church, Ira, seeks to make disciples through gospel-centered preaching, teaching, worship, community, and service. They have Bible classes for all ages every Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by worship service. They're going to be having an education Bible school for elementary age kids planned for June the 19th and 24th this summer. So head over to fbcira.com for more information. Go Bulldogs. Impact is an oil field chemical sales and service company owned and operated by Shelby Buckman, who happens to be my grandson's baseball coach. Impact has been in business since 1989, and services include oil and water analysis, truck screening, and continuous injections. They stand by their motto, we treat you right. He also mentioned, don't miss the UIL Baseball State Championship starting Wednesday, June the 8th. And UFC Ditch Pulse Field in Austin and the Dill Diamond at Round Rock, Texas. Same information and more can be found at UILTexas.org. Zane Allen, the batter up for the Ira Bulldogs here in the top of the third inning. Quickly gets ahead in the count, two balls and no strike, and ball three is way outside. Situation sometimes where pitchers just don't enjoy throwing the lefties that much, and Zane takes strike one on the outside corner, but still ahead in the count, three balls, one strike. He's trying to get something going here in the top of the third. And takes a swing at a low outside pitch, not able to connect, so the count now full. As Gerber tries to get by here, and Zane knows that he just swung at ball four, upset with himself, and he heads back to the dugout, but you can't really fault yourself that much against a pitcher like Gerber or a pitcher like Gary Payton, because they put so many different looks and spins on the ball that you never, even when you are ahead in the count, you're never really that far ahead. Hernandez puts one out between the second baseman and center fielder. Second baseman goes back, center fielder charging in. Alexis Hernandez is at first base with a single, and this falls right in between the center fielder and second baseman. Neither one of them really has a good shot at the ball. And he just kind of saw his way between the two gloves and bounced on the turf. So Lexan Hernandez with one out here in the top of the third inning. As Anthony Quinney has the ball, hits center field, he gets away from the center fielder. Lexan getting ready to round third base. He comes home. There is a throw at the plate. Lexan is in safe. As they have tied this ball game up, Anthony Luna was just a shot to deep center field. As he hits it over Birkenfeld, and Lester Hernandez was running on the pitch and able to go ahead and round third. The plate was fairly close. Lester able to go to a head first slide, beat the throw. Anthony Luna ends up at second base. And so this thing is evened up now, 1-1 in the top of the third. Foul ball back for strike one. Partain now with another foul. Two strikes. Luna at second. One out in the inning. Martin trying to put the ball in play and get Anthony around the score. Martin able to hold up. That ball was outside and looked at first like he was going to swing through, but able to go ahead and pull his swing back. Hopefully the umpire says he did not go. So one ball, two strikes, and Brighton stays alive here. One hopper over the first baseman. He throws the first, hits the runner at first, and throws the third. Luna also out on the throw, so an unconventional double play as Anthony was tagged hard in the face on that play at third base. And trying to catch things up here. And again, Anthony doubles off third base as he tried to advance on the throw to first. Good job of fielding by the Swift, but not before the Irish Bulldogs able to put the time run on the board here in the top of the third inning. We'll go to the bottom of the third. 1-1 is the score. If you look at the scoreboard, it says 1-1, three hits to three hits, and you can't get much closer than this right now. And also, from a pitching standpoint, Gerber and Jarrett Payton have just gone back and forth on the mound. So it's pretty much what we thought it was going to be as we come to the bottom of the third inning, a pitcher's duel. A couple of mistakes, a couple of heads-up plays, and a couple of really hard hit balls by both teams, and we're deadlocked here at 1-1. Nazareth Swift up to the plate, strike one. Luke Schultz, the catcher, and he's the one that hit the ball to the outfield fence. They kept trying to get a call from the first base umpire, and he's looking down at the ground. Finally, the outside umpire screamed at him and said the batter did not go, and so count even as 1-1. Jerry Pena throws one down the middle, and he was fouled off. So Jerry goes ahead in the count now. 1-2 here at the bottom of the third inning. Score tied 1-1 here in this regional final game. His high and outside is Jerry threw it exactly where Jaron wanted it. Jaron already come out of his crouch. And that will send up high outside. Count evens up at 2-2. And everybody on the Irish side wanted that to be a called or a strike. It was just a little high, it looked like. And the count goes full. Tapper to second base, Hernandez on it, and tosses it to Drew Porter at first for out number one for the Irish Bulldogs here in the bottom of the third inning. Tell you what, Ben, I definitely use another pair of hands here trying to go ahead and keep the lineup straight and the scoring straight and meet straight, not necessarily in that order. So I'll be glad when you get back, but I do hope you're having fun right now anyway, but definitely thinking about it. First pitch outside corner for a called strike one. Carson Hyman, the shortstop. Jerry gets set, delivers, and the ball is hit to Zane Allen in center field. Zane parks himself under this one, hauls it in for out number two. So, just like that, Jerry's able to go ahead and get the first two batters of the inning. We don't care if they made contact. We have good defense behind us. And, you know, as long as you see the ball in front of us, good things happen. Jerry's last half inning struck out the side. This half inning so far, he's had an infield assist and an outfield assist for the first two outs of the inning. First two pitches are high by Jerry for a two-out, 2-0 count. On Berber, the opposing pitcher, ground ball to shortstop, Anthony picks it up, one hop, and to Drew Porter at first base, and just like that, Ira Bulldogs are out of the inning, as the Swifts go 1-2-3, and Bulldogs come back in to try to go ahead and continue they're getting from last half inning. We put the bat on the ball fairly well so far through three innings, and we get ready to start the top of the fourth. A couple of good defensive plays by Nazareth, particularly that double play last half inning that got Anthony living out of third base. Anthony typically does a good job of being able to advance, but that throw came so quickly from the first baseman that he's able to go ahead and get Anthony about 4 or 5 feet off the third base bag. The unfortunate thing was the tag hit in the left cheek. Obviously, Lewis is a tough kid, just like all these Bulldogs are, and shook it off, came back out, made the out for the third play of the bottom of the third. So Bulldogs will start top of the fourth inning now. Jared Paintis will be the first batter, leadoff hitter of the fourth inning. trying to go ahead and help his own cause. Jerry, last time he was up, sharp single over the shortstop in the first inning in the left field, stranded at the base, but he is one for one so far tonight. First pitch to him. Gerber being a little cautious, throws it high outside for ball one. Jerry said that was pretty well zeroed in on, but hit over top of it. Bouncer down the first baseline for foul ball to even the count, one and one.
Hey, it's just like last time. This time he brought it more over the third baseman. Now he throws another single into left field, and the leadoff batter, Floyd Howard Bullock, here at the top of the fourth, is on by virtue of a single by Jarrett Pena, helping his own call here. Drew Porter, cleanup hitter, number 32, first baseman, comes up to the plate. Drew turns away, but he almost got hit by it, and then turns around and finds out that it was a called strike. So a little frustrated by that one. 0-1 is the count. Drew gets a high fly ball to center field. Center fielder comes in and loses his ball there, but he even gets to the ball and catches it for out number one of the inning. So Jerry King, the leadoff batter, 2-for-2 in this game so far. Line drive single over the third baseman's head. One out here in the top of the fourth inning as Gerber throws back behind him. Jared slides safely back into first base as Jared Pena is at the plate hoping to advance his brother. And pitch out. They had that one played perfectly as the catcher called for a pitch out, got it chest high, and you don't see it very often the Pena thrown out at the plate or at second base by a perfect throw from the catcher. He hadn't made an online throw so far, even in warm-ups that I have seen, but they're able to go ahead and get him out on that one. Swing and a miss for Jaron. So 1-1 is the count. Top of the fourth, there are now two outs, nobody on base. 1-1 is the score. Nazareth with a run in the first inning, and the Bulldogs with a run in the last inning. All fly ball to center field. Center fielder comes over to the right field side, and Jaron Pena lines out to the center fielder. And so, top of the fourth is over. Our Bulldogs with an opportunity as Jaron Pena led off the inning with a single, but gets picked off second base on a strong throw by the catcher trying to steal second, and then Jaron Pena with a long fly ball at the center field to end the inning. So, bring up the switch in the bottom of the fourth inning, and again, this game is really moving along. I want to go ahead and thank a few more of our sponsors, Renegade Services, proud supporter of the Iowa Bulldogs, Stewart County Youth. Renegade is a case-hold wireline company that calls for all of your wireline needs, specializing in logging, perforating, pipe recovery, frontline services. And for any additional information, just contact Gary Gunston, 325-207-0779. Doug and Susie White, two of my favorite Iowa people. And they've got nothing to sell. All they want to do is show their appreciation for Iowa and Iowa Athletics. They've been lifetime supporters of the Bulldogs, second generation graduates, with two sons and a grandson that graduated from Iowa. And as they say, black and orange bleeds through their veins. And I believe it. First Baptist Church of Snyder located 1712 27th Street, Snyder. Starts Sunday off with one of the main Bible studies available for all ages and the children to worship at 10:15. The praise team lives in worship, and the pastor Ben Reed provides the message. You want to join via Facebook live stream. You're welcome to love and relaxed environment. Be sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a cup of coffee and some donuts.
First batter up, a one hopper to Lexan Hernandez. Second base, Lexan picks it up and able to get the ball to Drew Porter at first. For one pitch, one out here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Lexan has had three sharp chances so far. The game's done a good job staying down the ball. A little hard to get acclimated going from a dirt infield to turf, but doing a really good job keeping the ball in front of it. Makes the play. First out, bottom of the fourth. 1-1, here's the score. And a called strike on the outside corner after a ball high inside, so 1-1. Now on the batter, Brett Young. And a called strike. So again, Jared Pena getting in the lead quickly against this hitter. Number 5 hitter in the Nazareth Swiss order. Fouls it off. That would have been strike 3 if Jared had that one. Just nailed right on the outside corner of the plate. And Young able to go ahead and foul it off down the first base side. 1-2 is the count. And he's swinging strike 3, but the ball gets away from Jared Pena. Jared gets the ball in plenty of time, but short hop to the first baseman, Drew Porter. And so the runner will be safe. The ball didn't go totally to the backstop. Jared was able to go ahead and pick it up. So they have a runner now at first base, one out here in the bottom of the fourth inning. First baseman, Cyril Welch, getting ready to come to play, but not before. Jared calls timeout, and the home plate umpire goes out and has a chat with Jared, make sure that they have their signs right, and there is a pinch runner on first base. Again, swing strike 3, the ball got away from Jared Payne, and Jared tries to throw it at the first. Short hops it, Drew not able to come up with the ball, so the runner stayed at first base with one out here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Quick throw to first base, and Jared almost eliminated the runner already. He has to dive back on the backside of the bag. Jared puts the throw back the second time, and the runner has to dive back for the second time in a row. Batter left-handed just set at the plate. Jared ready with the pitch. Ball a little low inside for ball 1-0. Not sure if Tyler's going to try to send the runner first base or not, but you know that he's got the full scouting report on Jaren's arm. Talking to Jaren today, I found out that he has never pitched an organized baseball until this year. He's always talked for his brother, but they've practiced and just going out in the backyard or wherever he might be able to go. But you could prove it by me, as I watched him this year, and just how active he is around the home plate, and how live his arm is, and how accurate his throws are. He's an exceptional catcher, and he and Jared are tremendous compliments to one another. You can tell that they're brothers, you can tell they spend a lot of time working together, but they're both just really good athletes as well. attempted bunt down the first baseline goes foul. The count's even at 1-1. Jerry just gets very close contact with the runner at first base, throws behind him on a swinging strike. He's able to get back, but again, Jerry's showing off his arm strength, throws it from his knee. The batter now in the hole, 1-2, 1-1, bottom of the fourth inning, runner at first base, score tied 1-1. Derek looking at the runner, first base. Gets ready, pitches home, and batter just reaches out, taps it foul, remain alive. 1-2 is the count. Jerry through 3.1 innings has only thrown 49 pitches to this point. So he's in really, really good pitch control wise. So that one a little up and in. The batter takes it for 2, even count 2-2. What I laughed is Jaron got set to throw down to first base, and the batter was standing right in front of him and just absolutely dove out of the way to not take it. Jaron came the fastball to the left cheek. High fly ball in the infield. Anthony Luna calls everybody off, and he will make the catch for out number 2. Here in the bottom of the fourth inning, runner remains at first base. Brace Board, the third baseman, the number 7 hitter in the Swiss order, he struck out swinging the last time up. Jared's looking at 2 outs as Jared sits up on the outside part of the plate. Boy, that was... I'm like Jaron. That was called a ball. We've got to strike the entire game. Jaron lifts his face mask up and turns the home plate umpire just to ask where exactly was that, because it looked like he caught part of the outside corner. But ball 1 on the batter. This one, batter does as he goes over his head for 2. 2-0 the count, 2 outs, runner at first base. On a swinging strike 3 and a 1-hop throw to first base. As Jarrett now gets that strike on the outside corner called. Strike 1, 2-1. Ground ball to third base. And runner is out as Brighton Partain had his short hop at it. It took a weird hop at third and short hopped it. He was actually off, threw it on the wrong foot, couldn't get a whole lot behind it, but able to get it to first. Drew Porter with a great stretch and catch, and runner is out at first. So third out of the inning, fourth inning in the books now between the Iowa Bulldogs and Nazareth Swiss. And we are still tied 1-1 as we go into the top of the fourth or top of the fifth. Got to get things set up here as move from one device to another. So we are good to go now. They're looking at Gerber's pitch count, and Gerber has 44 pitches. So he and Jarek are tracking pretty similarly. Jarek having finished four innings of work now and is at 50 pitches. And Gerber 44 in 3 innings. So had to do a little more work right now. Hopefully we'll go ahead and get the ball in play here in the top of the fifth inning and get some more runs across, get some support for the outstanding job Jarek has been doing pitching, but also the entire defense. After that ball got over Zane's head and first inning, very first batter for Nazareth of the ball game, gets an in the park home run by virtue of a well-hit ball, but kind of a timely bounce off the wall in the outfield. Our Bulldogs have settled down, played exceptional defense. Jerry's been right around the plate, forcing the foot batters to swing at pitches they might not necessarily want to. But our Bulldogs here with an opportunity now to go ahead and pull ahead. Peyton Castillo takes ball one inside and high. Peyton's been doing a great job this year as the DH. Ike Weaver playing in right field as the other half of that tandem. Called strike one, count evens at 1-1. And this time low and inside for ball two. Both teams with one run. Iowa Bulldogs with four hits to three for Nazareth, and both teams with one error. So just about as evenly matched at this point as you can get as Gerber throws low. This is the second time that the catcher has thrown the ball back to Gerber, and it's just falling out of Gerber's glove. So I don't know if he's getting tired or just lack of concentration. Caden swings on that inside pitch. Going to bring the count to a full count. Again, top of the fifth inning, 1-1 in this regional final playoff game. And ball four, as Gerber isn't anywhere close to the strike zone now, and up in the end. And so Kate goes down to first base, leadoff runner again on for the Iowa Bulldogs, two innings in a row now. Paul Rios comes to the plate. Gerber now up to 50 pitches here in three innings. Caden with the leadoff first base, holding way behind on the swing as the ball is up and away. Strike one, 0-1 is the count. Again, we talked about how much the lower part of the order has done for the Bulldogs this year. And Owen puts down a beautiful bunt. Pitcher has nowhere to go except first base, and Holden able to go ahead and advance the runner. And Castillo advances to second base. But with just one out left here in the inning, Zane Allen, the center fielder, up to the plate. He's going to take a pitch on the outside corner for a called strike one. Defense playing in tight on the infield. Playing straight up. This time, Gerber way outside. Ball about midway through the right side batter's box. For ball one, 1-1 on Zane Allen. Again, one out, runner at second base now in scoring position. Ball two outside. Gerber with a little uncharacteristic lack of control here in the top of the fifth inning. And Zane didn't like that one. I'm not sure. I'm right behind home plate up here shooting the press box. And boy, that one was about two ball widths off of the plate. But Gerber gets the call for strike two. Next pitch is up and away, though. So Zane Allen looking at a full count. Three balls, two strikes, one out. Case Castillo, the runner for the Bulldogs at second base. And swinging strike three, as Zane not able to make contact. So two outs now in the top of the fifth inning, score tied 1-1. Lexton Hernandez. Lexton had a
seeing high single land between the second baseman and the center fielder last inning, and was sure love to see him get a line drive. And I believe the first base umpire just called a balk on Gerber. And he has. They took the strike off of the board. Castillo was being waved down to third base. And I'm not sure that Gerber ever got set on the pitching rubber before delivering that pitch to Lexton. But in any case, it is a balk. And so Castillo will go down to third base. So, take the strike off the board, no balls, no strikes, Lexton Hernandez. Castillo now 90 feet away from being the go-ahead run for the Iowa Bulldogs, two outs here in the top of the fifth inning. This time of pitch up and in, but Lexton takes a good cut at it for strike one. 0-1 is the count. Lexton goes ahead and backs out of the batter's box, takes a deep breath, gets himself set. And he gets a pop-up to the pitcher, and Gerber able to go ahead and bring it in for out number three. So, again, the Bulldogs with an opportunity to go ahead and possibly go ahead, get ahead in the ball game, but leave a runner at third. So we come to the bottom of the fifth inning. The score still tied 1-1 in this regional final ball game. Mark and Sheila Harlan, also sponsors of Iowa Broadcast, and they want to back the Bulldogs in all that they do. So again, we appreciate so much the sponsors and you making these broadcasts possible. Again, I didn't know how many people would be listening this evening, as it looks like all of Ira, parts of Snyder and Morton County and Hurley are all out here in the stands. There's hardly a place to sit down, but did have some people tell me that they had folks in other towns, other states that were going to be listening. I know my parents are going to be listening in Ohio, so shout out to them. Hey, Mom and Dad. And, of course, we have our Alaskan connection with Ben Moore and his beautiful family out there enjoying whatever weather they're having in Alaska. I know it's cooler than what it is here, but Mr. Mann, the driver, sure able to go ahead and tune in and listen to the ball game, and hope we're able to go ahead and bring this game one home for you in this series. Jerry Pena gets ready on the rubber as the switch come up for their next bat here in the bottom of the fifth inning. First batter will be the number 8 hitter, Jack Welch, the right fielder. So the 8, 9, and top of the order. Jared with a tall strike one right down the middle. Just about the time Jared really starts to warm up. Against Gorman and against Westbrook, both in the fourth and fifth innings, he struck out the thighs. One hopper, Anthony Luna, but that ball took an amazing hop, and he leaped up, grabbed it, was able to throw it as he was coming down, and got the runner by about 2 steps. Just a tremendous play at shortstop by Luna on that ground ball. I thought first it might bounce the second time and give him pitch, but when it hit the first time, he just shot straight up into the air, but Anthony went up with it. He was going to bring it down for out number one. Ground ball to third base. Partain with a high throw. The ball gets away, and it is going to be an error as the runner advances to second base on the throw. It was a hard ground ball to Partain at third.
again, all the coaches out here talking to each other. And now I need to undo that last play because he is now second base and I'm still showing him at first. So we had one out, no balls, no strikes on the batter. Lead off batter, Schulte, the catcher. Home plate umpire calls time as the Swifts have a runner at second base. Young hit a sharp ball to third. Bryce came across and threw it across his body. The ball raised up. I mean, it started to rise as it left his hand. Drew not able to bring it in. Goes all the way. These are some wide, wide foul line areas out here at the ball field. So from first base to the screen on the side, probably 40 feet. And the ball did not bounce off of the wall. So runner, here we go ahead and get to second base. Second swim throws, gets a fly ball to right field. Ike Weaver at the line, able to snag it, and throws the ball back in. The runner advances to third. On the throw with an excellent play by Heineken, right field, because it looked like that ball was going to end up landing out there. But he's able to go ahead and kick it off. As the runner tagged up in second, he was advanced to third, so same situation. The Bulldogs found themselves in at the top of the inning with the runner at third and two outs. Called strike one on the batter. Carson Hyman, the shortstop, number two, hitter for the Swifts. Runner at third base. Jerry Payne is trying to get out of this inning. Swinging strike. Jerry Payne is taken down to third base, and the runner advances back and dives in to the bag. But 0-2 count now on the swing and the miss. 0-2, bottom of the fifth, two outs, runner on third. And that pitch is high for ball one. Jarrett is working on this, trying to get out of this half inning with no damage, no runs on the board by the Swift. And strike three, swinging strike. As Jerry puts the ball on the outside corner of the plate, Jerry set himself up right in that spot. And just like that, Iowa Bulldogs get themselves out of a potential jam. So we go into the top of the sixth now. Bulldogs and the Swifts tied 1-1. Nazareth got their run in the first inning, first batter. Out the ball game for the Swifts in the bottom of the first. And if we get a ball over, Zane Allen as he was running back trying to, catch up with the ball. Short hop to fence and wasn't able to make a strong relay throw in as the runner around in third and made the home without a throw. Ira Bulldogs in the third inning come back with, some good base running, timely hitting, able to go ahead and get a run across. Bulldogs have left a couple runners in scoring position the last two innings. And that time the Swifts with a runner at third base with two outs. Jared Pena is able to go ahead and eliminate the threat by virtue of the swinging strike three. So here we are. We find ourselves in the top of the sixth inning of a 1-1 ball game. And a lot of times, games don't turn out the way that you think they would based on what you see on paper or, what teams have done throughout the course of the season. Both of these teams are too good to not live up to that billing though, and, it's been exactly what we, would have imagined. With good defensive plays, good hitting, and, pitching has been outstanding by both pitchers. first pitch inside, and Ira Bulldogs at the top of their order of Anthony Luna taking ball one here in the top of the sixth inning. Foul that one off. Count even that 1-1. Anthony has had some couple of incredible plays in short tonight, and he is always good for the Bulldogs, putting the ball in play and getting a base runner on. This time, a grounder to second base, not able to get down there in time, and they throw him out for out number one of the sixth inning. Bryce Partain now at the plate. Bryce, the number two hitter for the Iowa Bulldogs, Jarrett Payton, come up next. Jarrett, 2-for-2 in this ballgame, so figure Bryce can get on. And we'll pop up to second base on the first pitch. It looked like it might have gone a little farther out into a right center field, but doesn't get a whole lot on it. And so one pitch and a fly ball to the second baseman brings up the second out for the Bulldogs in their half of the sixth. Jerry Pena now at the plate. As I mentioned, 2-for-2, two singles to left center, left field. And this time he takes a pitch deep inside, able to go ahead and move his feet to keep from getting hit by the pitch. Ball one. Jerry turns on it. Foul ball. Fielded cleanly by Coach Toby Goodland in the third base coach's box. 1-1 is the count. 2 out. Top of the 6th. Tied ball game 1-1. Jarrett with a little squib to third base, and he is going to beat out the throw. The ball is just a short one hopper. Third baseman came in, charged hard, and threw up the run, but Jarrett is able to go ahead and outstrip the throw to first base. And so he is on for the third time. As Drew Porter, number 32, the first baseman, cleanup hitter for the Iowa Bulldogs, comes to the plate. Change up by Gerber, and he goes inside to out and cuts across the plate for a called strike one. And Drew with a shot in the right center field. It's going to be in the gap. Jerry Pena, round third. Drew Porter in the second base with a stand-up double, and Pena with the lead run on a well-hit ball by Drew Porter. Right center field gets all the way to the fence. By the time the fielder gets there, Jerry is already rounding third base. Just a line drive shot. And so Ira Bulldogs in the sixth inning now takes the lead as we have a courtesy runner for the Bulldogs. Drew Porter gets mobbed, virtually mugged, as he comes back to the dugout after that hit. Just took that low outside pitch and drove it in the gap between the center field and right field. It rolls all the way to the bench. And Jerry off with a crack in the back. And is able to split in, but there was no play at the plate. Jerry hanging out with a runner in scoring position at second base. Fouled off the first pitch. 0-1 is the count, top of the 6-2 outs. Iowa Bulldogs now with a 2-1 lead in the sixth inning. And a changeup that ends up way, what looks to be way outside. Fans all thought so too, but called strike two. And this time on the next pitch, Jaron hits one up the first base line. First baseman picks it up, able to go ahead and
step on first for the third out of the half inning, but not before the Iowa Bulldogs able to get another run across and take a 2-1 lead here in the sixth inning. And I tell you what, this game is everything it was built to be. Bulldogs now with a 6-3 advantage in hit. As we said, Gerber had not given up an earned run the entire course of the playoffs. Only .27 for the season on the year. So this is, you know, abnormal for him, an abnormal situation. But our Bulldogs able to squeeze that second run by, and this is the time when we've seen Jarrett really able to deal as far as getting ahead of the hitters and you know, getting the strikeout. Defense behind him, though, I tell you what, go ahead and let him hit the ball, and they're going to get on base because we've done a very outstanding job defensively, total team effort on both sides of the ball. And you think about the fact we just got that run because Jarrett Payne just hit a one hopper with two outs. There's a third baseman. Third baseman caught it on the one hop, was actually inside throwing the first base. But Jarrett got such a tremendous burst out of the box that was able to beat the throw and be on base when Drew Porter hit a shot into the canopy right center field, and Jarrett with that speed of the going in come all the way around for the go-ahead run. So this is where we stand right now. We are at the bottom of the sixth inning. Iowa Bulldogs lead 2-1 over the Nazareth Swifts. Trent Gerber, the opposing pitcher, will be the leadoff hitter. They will have number 3, 4, and 5 hitters up this half inning. And Jerry struck him off with a ball low, count 1-0. This time inside corner for a call of strike one. Shadow throwing across the field now, about two-thirds of the way across the infield. Makes it a little rough, it looks like, for the fielders on the right side of the field. And Gerber is going to start things off for Nazareth in the bottom of the sixth inning with a single up the middle. It went over Jerry's head and bounced about 2 or 3 times right across second base pad. And so he is on by virtue of a single. And the batter now being called down by Tyler Goodwin to third base to discuss options. You would think in this situation, same as it was a couple of innings ago for the Bulldogs, when Holden Rios laid down a bunt, that this might be the time for a bunt. But also, this is your number 4 hitter. This is your cleanup hitter, and he's in that spot for a reason. And that reason is typically not to lay down a bunt. He's also left-handed. So you just kind of wonder what's going on there. And Coach Tony Goodwin called the entire infield into the mound, and they had their own meeting. And right now you're in a situation here where defensive strategy versus offensive strategy in a tight game, late in the ball game with two excellent pitchers. And, you know, see what comes of it here as Jerry gets ready for the pitch. Gerber with the lead off of first base. The ball gets away from Jarrett and gets all the way to the backstop, so Gerber will advance to second base. And I'm not sure if I'm going to let you go ahead and let the official scorer figure that one out, because it looked like the ball may have popped before it got to the plate. I could see that it got under Jarrett's glove and back to the backstop. So whether it's a pass ball or a wild pitch, it's kind of indifferent. And now the next hitter hits the ball to center field, and they're going to wave the runner in, and he's going to make it safely. The runner, the batter rather, takes second base on the throw. The throw is down, and he is also safe. So, just like that, our Bulldog takes the lead in the top of the sixth. Nazareth comes back and ties the game in the bottom. And Birkenfeld is now at second base. No outs here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Brett Young, the number five hitter, at the plate. He had a swinging strike three last time. The ball got away, and he was able to get down safely to first base. His last time up, as Jerry throws behind the runner at second base, he gets back to the bag safely. Two is the score. And Jerry gets ready to pitch. And the batter called time steps out of the box. Birkenfeld with a single to right center, scored Gerber, and on the throw to home, Birkenfeld able to go ahead and get to second base safely. Umpire at third base calls time and comes in, I'm not sure, checking on the runner at second base. I'm not sure what the situation is, but he is coming off of evidently he has a necklace on. And that's what it is. Third base umpire saw a chain on the runner and called time and made him take it off and go back to the bag. So he is now back on second base, batter back in the box. Jerry's ready to deliver the pitch. And right down the middle, waist high for called strike one. Again, a runner at second, no outs. Jerry's been in this situation before and always seems to be able to come through. Trying to push a little off the plate outside for ball one, even the count, one ball, one strike. Again, bottom of the sixth inning, still tied 2-2. Now, after both teams have brought a run across in the sixth inning, and the batter stands in there and takes a pitch off the shoulder. So, on a hit by pitch, he advances down to first base, so no outs, runners at first and second, as they will bring in a courtesy runner for him again. Again, no outs here in the bottom of the sixth. Earl Welch, the first baseman, number six hitter in the Swiss order, a lefty, with runners at first and second. Bulldogs in tight, double play depth. Makes it a little harder having a lefty at the plate. Jerry's across the plate, but a little low for ball one. 1-0, you're in the bottom of the sixth. Swift at first and second, no outs. A bunt up the first baseline, and it is fouled by about an inch, but Drew Porter made sure it was fouled by knocking it even farther foul, but that looked like that was going to be really problematic for the Bulldogs because it hung on that line and it looked like it might have
stop. But it went just foul. As soon as it did, Drew alertly tapped it to make sure that it stays in foul territory. Coach Toby Goodwin comes out talking to Jerry from a distance about calling time and having an official visit. So one ball, one strike in the count here in the bottom of the sixth, no out. Jerry gets set. And the pitch is up, so ball two. Base runners getting fairly substantial leads here at first and second. It looks like Luna trying to keep runner second base a little closer to the bag. And swing and a miss, Jerry's with fastball right down the middle. So the count evens at two balls, two strikes, bottom of the sixth. 2-2 is the score, no out. Runners at first and second base. And hard hit ball to second base. And Lexton tries to get up to his knees, get the ball to Luna at second, as the runner at first was almost there already, since he was a lefty batter anyway, not able to get there in time. So now we have bases loaded. It was a hard hit ground ball to Lexton, and all he can do, he's singling his knees and trying to get enough of a throw to Anthony Luna at second, but ball got there just a little late. The batter already down at first base, had no play on him, so bases are loaded now. Infield pitches into the grass, and ball outside, that ball is barely off the plate for ball one. The base is loaded. Jaron Pena taking time, working with his helmet, maybe giving his brother a chance to relax for a second here. Infield in time, play at home. Ground ball to third base, and Brian Partain ready to throw the ball home. We had the base runner and double clutches the ball. It falls out of his hand, and so the Swifts able to score the go-ahead run. And it was just a ground ball to third. But Birkenfeld able to score, and now Nazareth is ahead 3-2. It's kind of a tailor-made play there, as Jerry Gibbs would go ahead and induce the batter into a one-hop ground ball. Infield playing about 5 or 6 feet in on the infield turf in anticipation of keeping the ball in the infield and getting the runner out of home. Bryson fields it cleanly, but when he went to get the ball out of his glove, kind of lost his grip on it, and then it fell out of his hand, and so the runner able to score. You know, it feels bad, but right now the main thing is just to be go ahead and come back, get these three outs and see what we can do about erasing that lead off the board in our half of the seventh inning. Pitch up and away for ball one. Jerry's up to 79 pitches on the game through five innings right now. Swinging strike. Ball up and away a little bit, but Jerry has plenty on that. We go ahead and blow it by the batter. And this ball is straight back in my face. Foul ball, strike two. And the hitter just under it.
Jack Welch, we have the number 8 and the number 9 batter has to play in on deck right now. We really need to get a couple of outs right here. Pitch outside, Jeremy able to get down and knock it down, keep the ball from getting by him. So 2 balls, 2 strikes, no outs. 2 runs in, bottom half of the 6th for Nazareth. They've taken a 3-2 lead, no outs, and a swinging strike 3. Just what we needed for out number 1. And Will Young, the number 9 batter, struck out twice so far today. We could use that, or we could use a tailor-made double play. Either way, just to get out of the inning and see what we can do about going ahead and getting this game knotted back up or going ahead. Strike 1 for Payne on the outside corner. Again, Bulldogs still in tight on the infield. Trying to keep that runner from third from scoring. Ball a little outside for ball 1. 1 ball, 1 strike. 1 out, bottom of the 6. Jared doing his best to go ahead and get the Bulldogs out of this half inning. And strike 2 on a swinging strike. Took a little off that pitch, ran inside out on the batter, and not able to catch up to it. So 1 ball, 2 strikes. Jared's trying to go ahead and ring up out number 2, and he does with a swinging strike 3. So by virtue of 2 strikeouts, now Bulldogs an out away, getting out of the inning. And hope you go ahead and keep the damage to just the 2 runs that scored this half inning. Bases are loaded. And the leadoff hitter, Luke Schultz, is coming to the plate. He's put the bat on the ball 2 of the 3 times that he's faced Jared so far in this inning. Pitch 1, ball outside. And 8 pitches now for Jared. Oh, he cares about the next couple of pitches, I'm sure, just to get out of this half inning. That ball also outside. Called ball 2, 2-0. The count on the hitter as Bulldogs now in normal depth. All they need is 1 out to get out of the inning. This time he hits the outside corner for a cold strike. 2 balls, 1 strike, bases loaded. Bottom of the 6th. And Jerry delivers. Oh. I'm not sure how he was able to hold off on that, and I'm not sure how that was not a strike, as it looked like it hit the outside corner, but Jared's now in a hole with 3 balls and 1 strike, and batter hasn't attempted to swing the bat yet. This time he does. It's a pop-up down second base. Lexan Hernandez with the catch. So the Bulldogs are out of the inning, not before Nazareth was able to go ahead and get 2 runs across. And that's the thing we talked about at the outset of the game. Be a low-scoring game, runs would be at a premium, and it is going to probably be a mistake or two that that ends up making or breaking the game. But to this point, every bit of that has been exactly true. As the go-ahead run for Nazareth scored on an error, and both pitchers doing the best they can. Trent Gerber, 72 pitches.
And Derek is 88, just finishing his half of the sixth inning. But now we're at the top of the seventh. Pete Castillo, who got on as a leadoff hitter the last time he was up, hopefully can go ahead and do the same thing again so we can get that runner out there and hopefully at least knock this thing back up, if not go ahead here in the seventh. But your die time now for the Bulldogs. They've proven that they can hit Gerber and that they can, you know, wait on him. But we've actually hit them 6-5, but we have four errors in the ball game now, and that has been the difference to this point. Kate Castillo in the box as the leadoff hitter in the top of the seventh for your Howard Bulldogs. And I thought the ball was going to hit him. Instead, he gets called for strike one on the inside corner of the plate. This one a little too deep. And so ball one and one. Caden hits the ball out of play down the first baseline. Foul ball. And now the lights are on and the field is a little dark here. One ball, two strikes, and Caden not able to hold himself back on the high inside pitch and swing and a miss. And so he comes out number one here in the top of the seventh inning for the Bulldogs. Down 3-2. One out, Holden Rios has played. Strike on the outside corner of the plate. 0-1, here's the count. High and outside, ball one. One ball, one strike. One out for the Bulldogs here at the end of the seventh inning. Holds with a one hopper down first baseline, goes foul. So one ball and two strikes is the count. And again, inside out swing. Gerber's throwing two pitches pretty deep inside on Holden, and he's been able to get around the net and kind of going inside out, hit the ball off the handle, which kept it alive. He's fouled off both times. The catcher out to talk to Gerber, and kind of wanted to count one ball, two strikes, and what Holden's been able to kind of handle that inside pitch, see what they decided to do. But all we need for Holden to do right now, put the ball in play, get down to first base, give us an opportunity to go ahead and get a run here. One ball, two strikes is the count. Gerber with the delivery. Foul ball again. And catcher comes up with the ball. Evidently, he got that ball in fair territory until the good one comes down the third baseline. But Holden tried to get out of the box. Catcher able to go and pounce on it while it was still in fair territory. And so Zane Allen is up with two outs, takes a cold strike one on the outside corner of the plate. Holds off this one, but it gets across the plate just about the knees for a called strike two. So 0-2, two outs here at the top of the seventh. The swift ahead, 3-2. And Zane with a swinging strike three. And that will be the ball game as your Iowa Bulldogs able to go ahead in the top of the sixth inning, 2-1, but give up two runs in the bottom of the sixth.
And the Swifts able to hold on here in the seventh inning for a hard fought 3-2 ballgame. Our Bulldogs should be destroyed though. This is a 3-game series, and we have multiple pitchers that can take care of business, and we'll do so starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow. First game back here at 5 o'clock, and then the fifth game will start about 30 to 45 minutes following that first game. I anticipate going to a game 3. I don't think this thing is going to end in 2 games, but Bulldogs fought valiantly and came back a couple of different times after being down 1-0, and then able to go ahead and come back and take the lead, just not able to sustain it. Errors kind of really killed us tonight as far as this game is concerned. But we'll go ahead, get things fixed, come back out tomorrow, and take care of business in 2 games. To our sponsors, appreciate you allowing us to bring this broadcast. To our fans, thank you for showing up in mass. Just a tremendous crowd here today, and hopefully there will be as many here tomorrow. And go ahead and bring plenty of water. It's going to be hot, 104, 105 degrees. But it's going to be a long day, too, as I anticipate the Bulldogs taking both games from Nazareth tomorrow. Again, regional finals, Nazareth Swifts up 1-0 by virtue of a 3-2 win over the Iowa Bulldogs. And just a tremendous game, a hard-fought game by both teams. It's hard to lose these, especially when you're looking at a father-son combo in the coaching capacity for each team. And I know both of these guys for the last several weeks when all the hype has been put on them for being a father-son combo and coming to the regional final undefeated. Both of them are about their teams and about their guys and putting the best foot forward, doing the best they can, and keeping their guys up and focused on the game. It's not a Goodwin versus Goodwin matchup. It's a Bulldog versus Swift. And we're going to see that again tomorrow. So hopefully we will turn things around and be able to go ahead and go 2 games tomorrow. We will bring you live broadcast starting about 10 till 5 tomorrow afternoon. Until then, have a good, safe evening. God bless, and we will be back on the air tomorrow.